Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae is returning record amounts of money to Mississippians, whether it's through the College and Career Savings Program or the hundreds of millions in unclaimed money awaiting your claim. Treasurer David McRae says get your applications and claims in today. Treasury.ms.gov.
What's up? Welcome in on this Sunday night. Hope all of you had a safe and fun and happy 4th of July. I know if my neighborhood was any indication, you guys had some fun. There is somebody still in my neighborhood shooting fireworks tonight, and he does this for every firework holiday. New Year's, 4th of July, he has a budget that does not match our neighborhood. I mean, he's still shooting them off. I don't know if you hear them in the background or not. But I hope you guys had a great 4th. We had a great 4th around here. Big game coming up tomorrow. Now, we're not here to break down the World Cup as much as I would love to talk about Balogun getting his red card rescinded. FIFA is incredibly corrupt, but they at least reversed their initial corruption, so it's okay. Fired up and excited about that tomorrow. But we're here to talk about the absolute heater that Pete Golding is on in recruiting. And quite frankly, I think that it is a narrative changer, because as we witnessed during the end of last season and a lot of the discourse around that, there was a lot of, veiled shots at the inability to get good players and win at Ole Miss. And a lot of people in my business, in the media, we don't know anything in the media. We really don't. And we don't want to learn anything or recognize that things are changing or whatever the case may be, because there was a lot of conversation about the inability to do it at Ole Miss. And what you're seeing right now in recruiting is proof positive that that is just inaccurate. So we're talking about that tonight on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just pull out your phone, subscribe to the Rebel Report. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. I appreciate a recent LSU fan that gave a 1-star review. I thank you for listening, and I appreciate the review. You're really going to like tonight's episode, so thank you for that one. No, I'm kidding. But also right here on YouTube, I'm not kidding, by the way. I did get a 1-star review from an LSU fan, but, it is what it is. Also right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Would really appreciate that. This edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. I've been to the store many times. They have Hey Dad and I there for the radio show, and they're incredible people. That's my favorite part about the place, is the people that work there. They're you is what they are. They're just relatable. You can approachable. They're Mississippians is what they are, and they will take care of you for literally anything in the home, outside of the home, in your property, your hunting land, your garden. They've got it all under one roof. Also, great clothes, boots, the cheapest beer in town. But most importantly, guys, summer's kind of almost over. We are in school month already. The kids are going back to school this month, but that does not mean you can't get yourself a John Deere. 0% financing on all of these things by John Deere. They're zero-turn mowers for the backyard, 0%. 5-series tractors, 0%. The big stuff, compact tractors, you guessed it, 0%. Commercial mowers, 0%. And you can even get a Gator for the neighborhood, your hunting property, whatever, at 1.9% for 36 months. Go to Scruggs in Saltillo, 3575 Tom Watson Drive. And when you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. Okay, two more commitments for Ole Miss over the weekend, both of them on the defensive line. Antoine Jackson from Memphis. He's a 4-star from White Station. 6'6", 240 is what they list him as. The number 32 edge in the country. He is a 4-star. And then Elijah Cox from Atlanta. That was actually an Ole Miss Mississippi State battle, I believe, for the 3-star edge from Westlake right there in Atlanta, Georgia. Two more edges, another 4-star. That is the 14th. Blue chip prospect for Ole Miss in this class, that 2015 class. It's the one I referenced because Ole Miss has not had more than 10 in a class since that 2016 class. They have not had more than 10 since then. And here they are, one blue chip away from matching the number from that 2016 class that ranked number six in the country. Now, as I told you before, that one had 3 5-stars in it, though. This one does not yet have a 5-star, but they still have 14 blue chips and just a heater is what I would describe it as. But more importantly, for this class in particular, it's being done on the line of scrimmage. That is defensive line and 2 blue chip offensive linemen as well. And they're not done there either. I expect there to be a third at some point in this class. Of course, the caveat is it's July. There's a long time for signing day. It is the portal era. Players do leave, but they are building so much depth on the line of scrimmage. And I think you're seeing a trend, as we've talked about before, where it is becoming more and more difficult to build rosters through the portal on the lines of scrimmage. And Ole Miss has, especially defensively, which is why this defensive line is so good, because they have a lot of Mississippi guys that have been on the roster for a while. That has helped a ton. But I think you're starting to see teams wake up to the fact that you can't just go buy an offensive line. I'll use Mississippi State as an example because I'm close to it. Obviously, we cover them every day on the radio show. Mississippi State was desperate for offensive line help. Desperate, because they were horrendous up front on the offensive line. They went after Seton, obviously did not get Seton. He went to LSU. But there just wasn't – and they were motivated, right, financially motivated to build on the offensive line because they needed it desperately. And they're just – there wasn't the prospects there to go get. We've talked about it from the Ole Miss perspective. They were needy at tackle, and they did a good job in the portal, but look at the lack of experience that they have at the tackle position, because that's the available prospects that you have at that position. They're just not there. And I think you're seeing that they're harder to find on the defensive line as well. And so not only are there 14 blue chips, but it's not like there's 14 wide receivers or 14 running backs. It's on the line of scrimmage, and that's how you win football games always and forever. Schemes change. Everything changes, except for the fact that if you're not good up front, you're not going to win football games. If you're not good on the defensive line, you're not going to win football games. Look at the two teams that made this most recent national championship and all of your recent national champions. What was Indiana really good at? They had Mendoza. They had a good scheme. They were well coached. But they were so good up front on both lines of scrimmage. Just solid to elite. Miami, same thing. Why did Miami make that run to the national championship game? Because on both lines of scrimmage, they were dominant. And they were mostly homegrown guys, too. Guys that have been in the program for multiple years. Ole Miss is doing that. And I think it's easier. Now, this is anecdotal. But I do think it appears, anyway, from my vantage point, to be easier to build skill positions through the transfer portal, not as easy to build on the line of scrimmage in the transfer portal. So this class is shaping up really, really nicely. Long way to go still. So they can improve. They can make it even better. They're in the top 15 in the country right now. It also could, in theory, get worse, but this class is shaping up to be really nice. But more importantly to me, what I think that what they've been able to do so far tells you is that there is, I hate the phrase false narrative. I think we use that too much in media, both in politics and in sports. But there was a general talking point among media people like me during the Lane leaving for LSU saga. And it was just so disingenuous and frustrating from my perspective, because I would talk to them. They would reach out to me. Hey, what do you think, et cetera? And I would tell them, and they would turn around and just not believe, you know, what people that cover the team every day have observed over the last 6 years. Or you have people that are so stuck in what they thought college football was 15 years ago that they don't recognize that it evolves and changes with the way that a school like in Indiana can go win a national championship. That still has not altered the brain chemistry, if you will, of people that work in my business. Now, forget message boards and Twitter and stuff like that. They'll never, whatever. I mean, that's just a waste of airtime to talk about what people say on Twitter. But it can be true. And I believe it is true. You guys might not like this part, but I think it's objectively true that it is easier to get players at LSU than it is Ole Miss. When people say that, I think they're right. You know, that's not really worth arguing. They're the only school in a very talent-rich state. It's easier to get players. And so when LSU gets good players, though, they're going to turn that into, well, see, look at how much better Kiffin is recruiting at LSU, where he could not do it at Ole Miss. And again, that's half true. I think the ceiling for talent acquisition overall is higher at LSU than it is at Ole Miss. But there was this implication, and that came directly from the Kiffin camp, representatives of him, or media members that also have the same rep. It's funny how that worked out during all of that. Let him stay. Let him coach the playoff. Let me talk about it for 3 weeks on College Game Day. Those people all have the same representation. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. But there was the implication that Ole Miss's ceiling was reached, that everything was run at maximum efficiency, that they worked as hard as they possibly could, recruited as hard as they could, and it just can't be done at Ole Miss. And you guys heard it. You guys read about it during the season after they lost to Georgia. Just can't do it here. Just can't get good enough players here. Can't be done. And people bought that. And they just assumed, because Ole Miss was consistently winning, that it could not possibly be better. And that's a frustrating thing, as somebody that talks about the team every day, that talks to people around the program all the time, that is very familiar with what is happening at Ole Miss. And I'm not special, right? You guys know the same things that I do. Everybody that covers the team knows the same things that I do. They did a very good job. They won a lot of games. They got great players in the portal, and they did not come anywhere close to maximizing the potential in recruiting. They didn't come anywhere close to it. It was not efforted the way it could have been. And in high school recruiting, they did not capitalize on their momentum as a program, and they bailed themselves out by getting good portal classes, and they had a really high hit rate in the portal. But that's not the only way that you have to get players. And there was this assumption, this implication that it can't be done. And that's why you got the Vanity Fair thing that happened and all of that stuff that went on. And people listen to that and they buy it and they're wrong. And you're seeing right now that you can continue to elevate the ceiling of the place and the talent acquisition of said ceiling, because if they don't sign another player, if they do not sign another player, this will be very comfortably the best high school class that has been signed since 2016. And so when you sat back and watched all of these people in my business say the things that they did about your place, they were wrong. You knew they were wrong, but they were wrong because you knew that there was a lack of effort in high school recruiting. Relationships weren't built in the state the way that they should have and could have been. I have talked to multiple high school coaches in this state. One of them reached out to me after listening to the radio show and said, here was my experience with the Ole Miss staff over the last few years. It was not what they're used to. It was not efforted the way that it could have been. I don't even know if that's really a word or not, but they didn't try as hard as they could. They didn't maximize the potential. They didn't capitalize on their success, and they were having success on the field, and they didn't capitalize it on it the way that they could have. They didn't lock down the state the way that they could have. They let good players go to other places because of a lack of effort. And I'm not just saying that. I have talked to high school coaches that had players, good players, that went elsewhere that said it was an effort thing. Pete Golding came in and helped that on the defensive side of the ball anyway, but they didn't maximize. And so when you sat back and saw all that conversation, you knew they were wrong. But now that you've got proof that all it took was effort, because Ole Miss as a brand has improved dramatically to the previous staff's credit. They did a great job. They helped elevate that brand, but they did not operate at maximum capacity. There are still steps forward that your program can take. And a lot of things can change if they have a really poor season on the field. That can change everything. But you are seeing that with greater effort, greater results in recruiting could have been produced, and they were not. So there you go. How's that for a ramble on July 5th? Not bad, right? We'll get to your comments after I tell you about Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, anywhere in Mississippi. He's based in Brookhaven, but he will take care of you anywhere in this state for your auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life, or if your business needs it, he's got you covered. He is winning awards. I didn't know that was a thing, but you can win awards in insurance, and he's doing that because he takes care of his people. He's a Mississippian just like you, and he will take care of you. Give him a phone call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Even if you have insurance, even if you like your insurance, it's still worth the phone call. What's 5 minutes out of your day going to take, especially if you can get a better rate and better service? So give Logan Smith a call and tell him that it was me that sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, they got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one near you. Local loan servicing and decision-making, so you don't have to deal with somebody out of state or whatever the case may be. They will take care of you right there in one of their 16 locations. It's in the name, Bank With Me at Priority One Bank. And also Advantage Business Systems, if you're a Mississippi business that needs office technology, absms.com. That is the website, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. All right. There was just a red card in this game. That's a cleats up. That's a really bad challenge. And now England's going to play a man down. But who knows? If England wins, maybe they'll get it withdrawn. Don't you guys love that soccer and FIFA in particular are so corrupt? They're so corrupt that what caused Balogun to get the red card was a complete and total misuse and violation of their protocols by an official that was investigated for match fixing. Real thing. There's a real thing that happened. And then it gets overturned by, even though technically they have that protocol in place because it helped Ronaldo in this tournament, but still some political pressure gets applied and they overturn the red card. So you have double corruption. It's amazing that is what FIFA is. But, you know, heck of a game going on between Mexico and England. I mean, the Azteca is just a hornet's nest. And it's raining and just looks like a brutal place to go play. But anyway, that is an absolute, that's a red. That is a red. Different than the Balogun challenge for sure. But, you know, there's no way, 0% chance that those things do not get equated 100 times over. But hey, Borky, what's up? How are you? The recruiting aspect sure is helping change the narrative. Who would have guessed that Golding could recruit? Imagine that. I remember when he got hired, people said that the only reason why he was a good recruiter was because he was at Alabama. Even at Alabama, under Nick Saban, you are still trying to get players that literally every other program in the country, including all of the best ones, want as well. So you still have to go into living rooms and win recruiting battles. And even in this era where money is more of a factor, you still have to build relationships. You have to get in the door for a long time. I'm telling you guys, I have heard multiple stories about players that have taken less money to go to certain schools because of emotions in relationships. That is a thing that happens. I have heard this from money people at multiple schools and agents that deal with players at multiple levels, multiple of all of those things. And it's not just players just go to the highest bidder. Now, that happens a ton. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not naive, but relationships still do matter, especially when the players and their representation feel like they can trust the school to fulfill what is being promised. You saw a situation with a snip, snap, snip, snap, recruiting flip thing where a certain school was making all kinds of crazy promises that once they thought about it, it was like, wait, that doesn't add up. I don't trust that. I trust this place. They have proof of concept. So relationships still matter. Might look up in a few years and see how they lucked into hiring Pete. Could be old Mrs. Kirby. This year is just so vital. The schedule is a lot more difficult. I'm going to keep hammering that home because I think the SEC made a mistake. But the schedule is a lot more difficult. But this is a huge year just to keep momentum going forward. You don't have to make the semifinal this year to continue to build momentum. But he has got to show proof of concept this season. Has got to. Got to be some kind of negative look for State when Ole Miss picks up a commitment over State and it was their fourth edge of the class and the lowest rated 1-2. Yeah. State is in one of those situations where they're really just not going to get great players to commit right now until the football improves. The football's just got to improve. I mean, they could sling millions of dollars at recruits, which would, you know, if you want to win one recruiting battle worth millions of dollars, that I don't think that's the most efficient use of your money. But that's just not going to work right now. And so they've got to go win games. We'll see if they do. But anyway, Pete actually recruits. It's why they're doing good. I mean, Lane had someone else do it and had his picture taken with them. There was a high school game that I was in attendance for last season. I think I've told you guys the story before. I was in attendance for it last season. And a picture was tweeted from the sideline of that game. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'll look out for him. I'll see if I can see him. Couldn't find him. Wasn't there at all. The staff member was there. The staff had to send the pictures to the coach, who would then tweet them out, acting as if. And at least one game, I only know this about one game, but the staff member that was there took the picture, sent it to coach. Coach tweets the picture out to make it look like he was in attendance, and he was not. So that does happen. Prediction on where DGG goes, probably Ohio State, if I had to guess. I don't know, though. If you look back on the teams in the playoff last season, Miami had the best lines of scrimmage in the country. Indiana was just older, coached better, and had the superior QB. But they were also exceptional up front as well, was Indiana. So, seeing Alabama's fans showing concern about O-line. Concern online, sorry, about coaches like Golding beating them for prospects. That is a great example of people not recognizing today's college football. I love what Kirby Smart, of all people, have had to say about it. Now, look, he's had his complaints, and I get that too. But one thing that he hasn't really complained about, he's just been matter of fact about, is he said, I can't stack a roster anymore. I have to play guys sometimes that I would have never played before the portal became a thing. And now I have to play guys that I don't want to play, or that I can't play, that are not ready to play because I can't stack talent and they don't stay anymore. And I'm telling you, that is a great thing. And you guys know this. Our radio audience does not believe that. I think they're crazy. Even though, like, Mississippi State has struggled in this era, you are closer to winning quickly than you ever have been before. And hearing Kirby Smart say what he said should not trigger a reaction from media people saying, oh no, Kirby can't stack 85 of the best players in the country anymore that are stuck there forever. We must stop this. That's another thing that blows my mind, is they hear a coach say that and they side with him and not the 120 other programs that benefit from his not operating like that anymore. I don't get that. But again, my business is filled with people that they're just, they're like a bug to a bug zapper. They're just so attracted to the neon light of the big brands that they just get fixated on those and they don't pay attention to anything else. LSU will get great players, but the significant portion of Kiffin's first class were going to sign under Brian Kelly. That is true. And they are going to get great players. It's an easy place to recruit to. I the problem, like I said before, was not the implication that LSU, you can get elite players at LSU, because you can. That state produces them like crazy. It was that Ole Miss cannot, and that Ole Miss's potential has been maximized. And that's not true. Recruiting, the effort was not there in the same way that it could have been. So, can definitely tell it won't be an effort thing with Pete. He's always recruiting. Dude never gets tired. If he fails, it's not effort. If he fails, it is not effort. Simply put. So England was down a man and scored to go up 3-1. Wow. Wow. I would not feel comfortable being an England fan in Azteca right now. We're going to end this soon so I can watch the end of that. But if you look at when Golding came in starting in 23, they have started to dominate the high-level defensive recruits in the state, absolutely, and have buried state in the recruiting competition. Yes, they have. So glad Brazil is out. Now just need France and Argentina gone. See, I was told yesterday that France is this unbeatable, unstoppable force that nobody could ever compete with. And look, they're probably going to win this thing. And yeah, Paraguay parked the bus yesterday. But if you think they're impenetrable, you're wrong. If I said three SEC teams made coaching changes at the end of the season, who would they be? Can't include other situations besides firings. Okay, good. South Carolina, Mississippi State. South Carolina, Mississippi State, maybe Tennessee. That's a sneaky one to watch is Tennessee. That's a sneaky one to watch. So there would have to be a third. So South Carolina and Mississippi State are the most obvious. I could see Clark Lea getting an upgrade. I know he's an alum, but and maybe he never wants to leave. But if he has a good season, I think he'll be a really hot name in the coaching carousel. I guess there's a chance that somebody gives Sark a shot in the NFL, but I wouldn't personally, and I don't think that he will. But there's a chance. DeBoer just got a contract extension. Big one, too. So, is it just you, or does it seem like DeBoer's Alabama teams are kind of fragile? They don't strike me as very physical or tough and are prone to being blown out. Too much dependency on the quarterback. Yeah. Nobody is intimidated by them at all. Any news on basketball system? Honestly, Brandon, I will be fully transparent with you. I have no idea. I don't have a clue. This is probably something that I should not admit, but I have not spent much time on basketball lately. There's just Ole Miss baseball makes an Omaha run. Football's recruiting well. Getting ready for the season. There was a coaching change. Basketball, it just has not been compelling enough for us to talk about on the radio show or on here. And so that's on me. I need to do a better job at being informed on that. But I mean, this is going to sound kind of flippant, but I think it's accurate. The program hasn't earned the attention. So, but that's not an excuse. That sounded like an excuse. Maybe it is, but it should not be. And I'll ask around and see what I can figure out. Nah, France dudes hate each other. They're one wrong move from imploding. I hope so. God, we just got to win tomorrow, though. I'm so nervous about tomorrow. This is such a big opportunity in so many ways for our national team. I still can't believe, like I told you guys the other day, my son and I went to the friendly in Nashville last summer, and they got their asses kicked. And it was mostly B and C team guys. It was Potch trying to figure out maybe who could be a fringe roster guy. I mean, you know, John Tolkien played, and we got a picture with him. He was so awesome, so nice. But John Tolkien didn't sniff this roster, you know. But they got their asses kicked. And I can't believe that they look the way that they do and they're in the position that they are a year later. And so it's been a lot of fun to see this golden generation finally come to form. I mean, their creativity, their aggressiveness, their confidence, and they look like they're having fun and having fun with each other. They're a really likable group. Balogun's response to getting the red card in the media was just filled with class. I mean, he talked about, you know, I can't react any other way besides accepting it because there's a lot of kids watching us and they're going to be inspired by us. And I have to, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that. It was, it's unfortunate. I don't think that it should have been a red, but people are watching me and kids are watching me and they're watching how I handle this. And it was, I mean, just pure class. They're just really likable. Like I love Tyler Adams in the way he carries himself. Weston McKinney's a fun guy. I mean, Freeman's a fun story with his dad playing in the NFL. And I mean, there's just a lot to like about this group. So not only are they the Americans who I will always root for no matter what, but this is a group of super likable guys on top of it all. So. Okay, you guys are saying goal. Who scored? Who scored? Goal who? It was 3-1. Okay, so now it's 3-2. Oh, man. Okay, and England's down a man? Oh, gosh. All right, I'm going to have to hang it up. We'll be back on Tuesday. I hope that we are just celebrating soccer on the podcast because I will be crushed if we cannot get it done tomorrow. But anyway, I got to go because I'm going to watch the end of this thing. I appreciate you guys. Hopefully tomorrow goes well. And I'll see you on Tuesday night. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.